always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Reaction from around the globe rolling in over U.S. airstrikes on Iraq and Syria. Payback for those deadly attacks on U.S. troops. Britain says it supports the U.S. right to respond to attacks, while Iraq says the airstrikes could lead the region into dire consequences. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with more.
The air assault targeted dozens of sites in Iraq and Syria. Two B-1 bombers were among aircraft used, and U.S. Central Command reported more than 85 targets hit, including command and control centers, weapons depots, and drone storage facilities, all linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard and affiliated militia groups.
Now to South Carolina, holding the first official Democratic presidential primary. President Biden is looking to notch a big win, but there have been worries about the black vote. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
A Democrat gets between upper 80s and low 90s in black vote total. And the same thing's going to happen this year, maybe on the lower side. If so, Biden might lose, but he's certainly not going to lose most black voters.
Southern California is in the crosshairs of a nasty storm this weekend with possible flooding. Bob Orovec is at the National Weather Service.
The winds do pick up also as the rain comes in. There's a pretty strong storm forming off the coast of Central California Saturday night into early Sunday. That's going to be moving parallel to the coast. So the winds on the east side of the storm are going to be affecting the coastal areas through the day on Sunday and start to weaken by Monday, though.
A year ago today, East Palestine, Ohio, was ravaged by a train derailment that displaced thousands after toxic chemicals were released. CBS's Roxana Saberi with more.
Environmental testing and cleanup of the disaster site are ongoing, while some residents remain concerned about their health and safety.
You said last time we spoke that your daughter had had some upper respiratory problems. Mm-hmm. How is her health now?
She has not had a lot of issues since we left the area, so I just pray to God that I got her out in time, that she won't have long-term effects.
There's a deal to end a teacher strike in suburban Boston. CBS Boston reporter Tammy Mustafa.
Utter jubilation and celebration as the 15-day battle over the Newton teacher contract is over.
The Newton Teachers Association and the Newton School Committee's bargaining teams agreed to a contract.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the alleged migrants caught on video assaulting two NYPD police officers should be caught and deported. Police say some were released without bail. They also say four of them may have caught a bus to California. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Artificial intelligence could be used to meddle in this year's elections. As Eric Tegedoff reports, it could cause voters to mistrust all information, even the truth.
Before the New Hampshire primary, a robocall imitating President Joe Biden called voters and told them not to vote. It's seen as a potential preview of what voters could be in for as the 2024 general election approaches. Rachel Ori is the Senior Associate Director of the Bipartisan Policy Center's Elections Project. She says AI could have other consequences.
Our bigger concern is what's known as a liar's dividend, that the presence of false information makes voters trust any information less.
Ori says the past few years have seen a near constant assault on accurate voting information, which has made it challenging for good information to reach voters. Ori says AI could supercharge the misinformation campaigns that have existed for years. However, election officials across the country have a leg up going into the 2024 vote.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
Ori says election officials should have a plan ready to respond to AI misinformation campaigns. She says there likely aren't any regulatory options available at the moment to stop these operations.
Technology is maybe growing faster than the regulatory tools we have available. So at present, it seems difficult to find a policy that the government could adopt and make these robocalls impossible.
Ori says another concern is targeted campaigns that use a voter's personal information to persuade them not to vote, although there aren't any documented instances of this happening yet. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show, just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show, so tune in then from noon to 2.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny by this afternoon, we'll see a high near 39. Partly cloudy tonight, 31. Becoming mostly sunny on your Sunday with a high near 40. Sunshine, 42 for Monday, 45 on Tuesday. And the warm-up continues, 49 Wednesday, 52 on Thursday.
Currently 33 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco on all of your Civic Media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. 13 stations on Civic Media are covering Raised in Wisco now, which is super exciting.
That's awesome.
We're going very high tech. I'm actually in Clam Lake, Wisconsin, broadcasting by remote on StreamYard with the help of Anastasia in the studio and Danielle. And you guys know, we talked about it a little bit last week. I'm up here with my bobcat tag, trying to chase down a bobcat and get one in the bag. I have yet to get one, but we are diligently pursuing bobcats up here. And everybody's mind is what we're going to cook with it when we do some cooking with the bobcat. Danielle, have you ever eaten bobcat?
I have never, ever even thought about eating bobcat. Bobcat has not been on my radar like forever until you started bringing it up. It's just not something that I feel like I would have hunted in Wisconsin until you started bringing it up. Because right now it's ice fishing season, so my mind is ice fishing. But what do you think you're going to do with the bobcat?
That's a great thing to have on your mind, because Cody Doberstein from Reaction Tackle is going to be joining us a little later in the show and talk all about how to get those. What we're dealing with now is early season ice fish on mid to late season. So that'll be an interesting topic for sure. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking up here, if we do end up getting a bobcat, that we're going to cook the tenderloins in some way. We're going to figure it out. I'm racing my mind with what kind of recipe. But Danielle, have you been to the Shawmigan Nicolet National Forest?
I have not. And I keep looking at this log cabin you're in. It looks beautiful from where I can see it.
Oh, it's so cool. And if you're watching us on Facebook, you can check out how cool it is. It's like a trapper's cabin.
That's perfect.
It's really fantastic. And hopefully Senator Rob Stafschult, who is busy for the moment, will have a little time to join us. And we can talk with him a little bit.
Is he about hunting bobcat some of the as well? Things.
What? No, he's hosting me hunting bobcat. Cause nice. I'm the one with the tag, which is extremely exciting for me, but the season only goes to the end of January. So there are only a few precious days left to try to harvest a bobcat, but I have to tell you, so driving around the Shawmigan Nicolet Forest, we look for tracks for things in order to try to find the bobcats. You got to find the tracks. I've counted more than 25 different species of tracks all through the Shawmigan Nicolet National Forest. We've seen everything from ermine tracks, elk tracks, deer tracks, fisher tracks, pine marten tracks, otter, and raccoons, bobcat, coyotes, turkeys, ruffed grouse. It's unbelievable, the species. If you have not gotten up here, you need to get up here just to see the beauty of this national forest. And I'm sure plenty of people come to these areas in the summertime, but I will tell you, in the winter with the snow glistening off the trees, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I can't even tell you how amazing the view is every day. The company is great. The people are down home, heart of Wisconsin, salt of the earth type of folks.
That's perfect.
And it's just awesome. And I've got Rob Stafschult lurking behind me. I'm going to try to get him over here and ask him some
questions. Was that the big
Senator,
there?
Come on over. I'm going to reintroduce our good friend, Senator Rob Stafschult, member of the Wisconsin State Senate. And
hey, Danielle, how are you?
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, when Senator Stafschult, who is the chairman of the Sporting Heritage Committee in the State Senate, is not protecting the rights of hunters, fishermen, and those who use the outdoors, one of the things he enjoys very much in his free time is hunting. And I think it's fair to say you enjoy eating wild game as well.
I do.
Yes. So one of the most awesome parts of this trip for me has been
spending time with me.
Well, of course, I always love spending time with you, Rob. But I got to meet Rob's dad. How old's your dad?
82, be 83 in a couple weeks.
Nice.
I got to meet Rob's dad, Dick Stafschult, who's up here with his buddy Arvid Jeske. And Dick Stafschult was one of the first people to work with the DNR to establish a bear hunting season in Wisconsin. And wow, to be able to sit with him and share his stories with him was unbelievable. I mean, I don't think the rest of the state realizes kind of the heritage that exists up here, do they, Rob?
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. You know, growing up listening to those stories, and eventually they kind of get to be commonplace in our family and our hunting group, but it's always really cool to see someone like you come up and get to experience those stories for the first time and the facts and how those first rules for the bear season came into place. It's pretty neat to see someone new hear those stories. So I appreciate that.
When did the bear season,
and I've been, go ahead, Daniel.
When did the bear season come into play? Like when did he start doing all that? How did it start for him?
So they used to hunt bear in the UP of Michigan, and in the early 60s, don't hold me to this, I think 61, 62, 63, something like that, the Wisconsin DNR decided they're going to put a bear season in place. So they had some kind of trial bear hunts where the DNR kind of went along with guys like my dad, and including my dad. They had, I think, three or four different locations around the state, and they kind of drafted the original rules for bear hunting in the state in the early 60s. So it's cool that my dad was a part of that.
Yeah, so that's 70 plus years ago. Rob's dad, who was part of initializing bear hunting in Wisconsin, and I've gotten to hunt and harvest a bear and eat black bear with Rob, which is just, I mean, to realize what you can participate in the outdoors of Wisconsin and to not take part in it is something that I would encourage every listener out there to do. There's no doubt in my mind that there is a place or a space or an interest or hunting or fishing or rock climbing or canoeing, the little mountainous region up here. It's unbelievably beautiful. Danielle, do you apply for your bear tag every year?
I do. Yes. I apply every year, but well, that's as far as I look into it. I'm just waiting for that because obviously we know people that can help me with that, but I don't even know where the first step to begin to go bear hunting.
Well, guess what? Now
what?
You do, because when I got up here and once Rob starts getting sick of me, and I don't know what the timeline is for that, he's like, why didn't you bring
T-line
Danielle?
T-line is 45 minutes.
So I think that's definitely something you should consider looking forward to, because now you've got a connection. And I did hear that, I got to give some credit. You guys snapped a picture of my mom, Mary Clayfish, in the studio.
Yes, Mary.
And
here,
I'm a little jealous because she texted me earlier, I'm going to bring some of my sauce for Danielle and Anastasia, even though you're not there. So again, I think now my mom even would prefer to come spend time with the two of you instead of me, which is just fine and in some cases understandable. But
oh, yes, it was very
while we've got
It was very exciting to see her here when we walked in. She said, yep, Joel's not here, but I wanted to see you anyways.
Yes. She's very gracious that way. I want to ask senators how much time we have left in the segment on Anastasia. We got a couple minutes yet?
Yeah, we have four minutes here.
I want to ask. All right, perfect. I want to ask Senator Stachel, what's going on in the legislature right now that we as those who utilize the great outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin should be thinking about or should care about? Is there anything that's going on that we should even be paying attention to?
Sure. Well, for starters, I think everybody should pay attention all the time. And I think, you know, as the chairman of the Sporting Heritage Committee, there's a lot of bills going through that some folks think make things better. Some things, there's a package of some bills right now. A couple of them are trickling through to try to reinstate a higher population of deer in northern Wisconsin. One idea that's coming up is whether or not we should have a moratorium on a doe hunt for the northern forested area here in Wisconsin for, I think, 4 years, and then it would have a sunset, and they could reevaluate after that. That's a pretty big deal. We don't normally do something that significant in the legislature, but I also think that it's pretty important right now to figure out what we could do for northern Wisconsin to get a deer population back. There's other bills, non-resident license increase for fee to try to make them uniform between bow hunting and rifle. There's a vast array of bills that are going through our committee right now. So
we're
keeping busy.
I did see something on social media saying that the northern half is going to, not half, the northern quarter is going to go to no does for a year. Was that hearsay, or is that something that's actually going to be happening that is already happening?
So that's a bill that a lot of the northern legislators put out for co-sponsorship. That's now done, and it's now come to my committee, the Sporting Heritage Committee, and I've agreed to have a hearing on that bill. So we're going to have a hearing beginning of middle of February probably, and kind of weigh it out. We'll hear the pros and the cons and decide if it's a good idea, not a good idea, and we'll go from there.
I think it's a good idea from my point of view, but.
What I can tell you is this. When we're out, when we're looking for tracks and we're seeing all the tracks of all the species I mentioned, I have to honestly tell you, there is no track we see more of, more commonly and in bigger numbers than wolves. Mm. I mean, we see wolf tracks all the time going through people's yards. I know there have been cases where wolves have attacked family dogs, farm animals up here. And let's face it, they're eating the deer. They're killing and eating the deer. So I guess, in speaking with Representative Chan Green, who authored the bill, one of their ideas is that with the wolves killing so many of the deer and then people killing does, it's just too much for that servant population to sustain. So from my perspective, at least if the hunters give does a break for a while, I think, you know, the wolves aren't going to take a break.
No.
So I think it's a chance for maybe the deer population to kind of grow and come back. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the way, is that right? That's kind of the way folks are looking at
I hear it all the time of, well, that's not the problem, shooting does, it's the wolves. Oh, it's not the wolves, it's the bear. Oh, it's the bobcats. It's the hard winter we had the last couple of winters. I truly believe that it's most of those things, and the wolves certainly don't help, but we're going to work on the doe situation.
We're going to get Senator Stachel to stick around for a little bit, and then when we come back, why don't we bring our guest in, Danielle, and we can have a big conversation with all of us like we're all in the studio together.
A big happy family. Sounds good. You're listening to Rays and Wisco. Stay tuned.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is in the studio, and I'm in Clam Lake, Wisconsin. And because of the magic of Anastasia, she's been able to help us set up StreamYard and broadcast from anywhere in this great nation. And we've got a special, pretty special guest who is very apropos at the moment since we've finally got ice on Wisconsin lakes. You want to introduce the guest for us, Danielle?
Yes. So the guest, we had him on before on a previous episode. It is Reaction Tackle Man himself. Cody is the content marketing manager for Reaction Tackle. And you actually know him from Joel. You two reached out, and that's how he came on the show. And last time, it was just you and me before, too, wasn't it? Joel bailed out again. Didn't he?
I don't know. I remember
Joel
was in the studio.
5 hours to. I was in the studio. Look at my hat, even.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was showing that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I'm just forgetting things. There's been so many shows this every week, this whole entire year. We're doing great. So sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, my fault.
No
but,
worries.
Cody is here. He's here to talk about Reaction Tackle ice fishing line and then all the tips and tricks that Reaction Tackle has, how to follow him and everything we need for this weekend and every weekend forward, because it is safe to go out ice fishing in most spots as long as you have your spud bar and you know the conditions.
Yep. Gotta be safe.
So welcome, Cody.
Thank you very much. I love this show, you guys. Thanks for having
me back. We're very excited.
You guys are fun.
And Senator Staff Schultz, Michelle Ferretta, she is talking. We have where you can text us on the show now. And she's saying hello. The Ferretta family says hello. So this is very exciting from Eagle.
I always appreciate it. We were at an ice fishing contest together last year, and I actually got the opportunity to take a picture of her. It was great.
Oh, yeah. She's a fantastic. I love family.
I'm just going to take a moment and to release some exciting news for Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. You can notice just by the calls and contacts how fast the show is growing. The Raised in Wisco family, Joel, Danielle, and Anastasia, we're thrilled to be able to broadcast to you across the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm excited to tell you that we are going to become a permanent feature on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock on every single station that the Civic Media Market covers. And that's Saturdays at 11 o'clock. You'll be able to hear Raised in Wisco anywhere you are in the state of Wisconsin and even across the borders. We've got Amy Stefik in Michigan listening right now. We've got folks in Illinois and Minnesota listening to the show right now across the borders. And we couldn't be more thrilled or more thankful that Raised in Wisco is featured on the Civic Media stations. And I think as Civic Media dives into this state, we're going to see some real fantastic things. And Danielle, I know I'm speaking for you and me when I say we're just thrilled about it.
Oh, very excited. We have definitely grown a lot over the year, and it's definitely thanks to all the listeners, Anastasia, you, everybody, our guests.
Yeah.
So
congratulations, you guys. Huge
thank
accomplishment.
You.
That's awesome.
It is very exciting.
It's awesome. And in fact, we're going to be set up with a mobile studio, which is one of the cool new things that Danielle and I are going to be able to do, broadcast in broadcast quality from anywhere. Within the next few weeks, we're going to be having mobile studio access to be able to take with us to interview folks at expos, at hunting conventions, and everything like that. And now let's get to ice fishing, for goodness
awesome.
Sakes.
Ice fishing, yes. So, Cody.
Yes.
What does Reaction Tackle have for ice fishing? What do you guys have for the world today.
Well, huge accomplishment for Reaction Tackle. Number one selling ice jigs on Amazon.
What? On Amazon?
On Amazon.
You can buy on Amazon.
Crushing it.
Oh.
Our team is so psyched. So we've got some outstanding tungsten ice jigs. We got variety packs now. They come in 50 packs, 30 packs, 10 packs, and then you can buy them one off.
50 packs?
Yeah. 50. Oh. Well, I've got a 50 pack right here. They come in a little case.
Oh,
Joel, you're missing out. You don't get the show and tell this time.
Yeah, I'm going to put these on camera.
I am missing out.
You're what? You're,
but I think
your
Danielle wishes that they made beer in 50 packs. She might buy them to match your jig packs.
This is very true.
That's it.
All right. I need this color beer. This beer goes with this. Imagine if they had beer. Shape like, not shape, but color like the jigs, so you can drink that one while you're fishing with that one to see what one's good luck.
Now you're talking.
And
now
you know
you're
those,
talking.
You know those advent calendars that they have?
Yes. Yes. 100%. I got one from Costco this year.
Nobody, Costco, come on. Nobody drinks when they ice fish. Come on.
Never.
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 Not
ever.
Wisconsin.
Nope. I don't know what Dizzy Bat is. Nope. What is Dizzy Bat?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea. No.
Yeah. But I am heading out ice fishing for the Hard Water Freaks event. So I am really hoping to go out for walleye. Can you help clue in everybody what should be using for walleye? Should I be using these? What kind of?
Well, Danielle, here, these are a gift for you. Our Wonder Glow. It's the Wonder Bread color ice jigs.
These are so hot right now.
They are hot. They've been hot the last 2 years. Yeah, so a big seller. Dang.
I'm trying to pull this out right now. Thank you.
Yeah, so walleye are one of those fish where you can use tip-ups or you can jig for them.
Yeah.
These jigs are the teardrop jigs that we sell. You know, you're probably not going to go walleye fishing with these bad boys. You're probably going to use tip-ups and something a little bit larger. Maybe use like a treble hook with like a live shiner and drop it down. Yeah, look at those bad boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those look pretty fantastic. Yeah. I'm telling you, We should have, if you want to check us out on Danielle's live Facebook feeds, you should, because she's got that running. And then you can listen to the show on Saturdays at 11 o'clock on any Civic Media station and watch our Facebook page on Civic Media, Raised in Wisco, and you will get to see photographs. You'll get to see all of our, you'll get to see my ugly mug and Danielle and all the rest of our guests who appear on the show. So check out the Facebook page on Civic Media's Facebook and check out Civic Media, and you get to see pictures of all the stuff we talk about during the show. I've got a quick question before we go to break. Then we're going to bring Senator Stafshult back in to talk about ice fishing up here in addition to the hunting. But my question taking us to break, Cody, is how do you fish differently in the southern half of Wisconsin versus the northern half that's had ice for so long?
Oh, wow. Great question, Joel. I'm not 100% sure on that one. I do know I talked to one of our pro staff team members. He's been so frustrated with living in Oshkosh. He actually has been going to the UP regularly, and he was getting even more frustrated. He went to North Dakota because of how weird the weather is. He went to North Dakota and there was 40 mile an hour winds. They got 18 inches of ice. And he's just like, the conditions are kind of tough around the states. It's not just here in Wisconsin, but, you know, there's different ways you can target certain species, right? You can use tip ups and live shiners for certain bigger species. Those smaller species like panfish and crappie, those aren't going to trigger your tip ups. So you're going to be jigging for those using mono. But yeah, we got some great products here. Yeah, go ahead.
No, 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Sorry. Second radio.
That's the one minute signal, Cody.
I verbalized it. But yeah, I had another conversation with Brian Gaber. He's an awesome team member of ours. He was a crucial member of the 2010 World Championship ice fishing team for World USA.
I would love to hear what he says when we come back from break.
You got it.
That's a good lead off right there. We're headed to break. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. It's your last time to call us live, so give us a call.
Waukesha. home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Those U.S. airstrikes targeting Iraq and Syria over that deadly attack on U.S. troops are drawing strong reactions around the globe. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The strikes were approved by President Biden and launched just a few hours after he attended the dignified transfer of the remains of those three U.S. soldiers.
Voters are at the polls in South Carolina for its Democratic primary, and CBS's Turian Small says President Biden has a little competition.
Congressman Dean Phillips, he is expecting this to be a Biden blowout. He told me at one of his events that he expects Biden to win about 95% of the vote here.
California is on the lookout for some wicked weather and flooding the next few days. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
In Southern California, 8 to 12 inches possible in some areas of Los Angeles and Orange Counties. Los Angeles, we've got a flood watch that goes all the way through Tuesday.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
The Brewers mega trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers traded their ace pitcher, Corbin Burns, Thursday night to the Baltimore Orioles for two players and a pick in the upcoming draft. The veteran pitcher was still upset after a team rep in a salary arbitration hearing last year claimed that Burns was the reason the team didn't reach the playoffs in 2022.
You know, it's tough to hear, it's tough to take, but you know, they're trying to do what they can to win a hearing. But I think there was obviously other ways that they could have gone about it.
Nevertheless, he recently signed an extension with the crew through this year, so why trade him to Baltimore? General Manager Matt Arnold.
Look, anytime you trade a guy like Corbin, it's always a difficult decision. I think the overarching theme here is that we're excited about the players we're getting back. And the reality of our situation is that we had 1 year left with Corbin. I think Corbin had been pretty public about how this was going to be his last year as a Brewer.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming sunny by this afternoon, we'll see a high near 39. Partly cloudy tonight, 31. Becoming mostly sunny on your Sunday with a high near 40. Sunshine, 42 for Monday, 45 on Tuesday. And the warm-up continues, 49 Wednesday, 52 on Thursday. Currently 33 degrees.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
East Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. 101.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, coming to you live from Clam Lake, Wisconsin, in the heart of the Shawmagon Nicolet National Forest. Ooh. Danielle Fairman holding down the fort in the fishbowl with Anastasia. And we're just thrilled that we've got so many tools in our belt to be able to come to you live on Civic Media. I had an awesome meeting with Sage Weil and Catherine Lake the other day over at Civic Media. Super excited about our expansion throughout the state. Anywhere in the great state of Wisconsin, you can listen to Raised in Wisco now Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock in every major market, 13 markets throughout Wisconsin. So don't be afraid to get on there and listen. From Hurley, from Superior, from Madison, from Racine, from Waukesha, Green Bay, Wausau, you name it, you can listen to Raised in Wisco. And to show how far this show reaches, we have literally one of the most influential people in the outdoors in Wisconsin, State Senator Rob Stafschult, who chairs the Sporting Heritage Committee, a frequent flyer guest on the show, thrilled to hunt with him, thrilled to call him a buddy. In fact, true story, I hunted with Rob Stafschult before he even ever ran for the Assembly, which is before he ran for the Senate. We've been friends a long time.
We sure have.
Or at least that's how it works in my head.
Time flies when you're having fun, Joel.
It sure does. And, you know, you think of the North Woods and you think of hunting, but that is certainly not all. I mean, the culmination of things you can do while you're up here, everywhere we drive by is frozen long before the southern half of the state is frozen. How is the ice fishing up here and how is the fishing up here?
You know, it's really good. And I'm obviously a bigger hunter than I am a fisherman. There's plenty of people around here that are far better fishermen than I am. But I observe as I travel around the people that are out on the lakes and ice fish every day. A good friend of mine lives just east of us. He was up on Lake Superior the other day, caught 10 really nice big lake perch in Lake Superior, a herring, and I think a coho trout. So that's 35 miles away from where we're sitting. And then you have all the inland waters here. We've got trout streams. I mean, if there's a fish you want to go after, you can pretty well do it from northern Wisconsin.
I don't think people realize that in Wisconsin, you can catch every freshwater fish, just about every freshwater fish that exists in the United States. And you have access, one of only about three areas in the world that you can catch coho and Chinook salmon, the Great Lakes. Otherwise, you've got to go to Greenland or Alaska, essentially, to do that. There is nothing. And up here, you're real close. When they say, oh, yeah, right over by the Big Lake, they're not talking about Lake Michigan like we are in southeast Wisconsin. They're talking about Lake Superior. And you've got you've got Canada a couple hours away when you're in northern Wisconsin. It's just an unbelievable resource. And I guess that's why my question for Cody is, when you've got thicker ice on lakes, does that change your tact for ice fishing? Or do you still stay with the same tact as where you've got less ice or newer ice and, you know, where the water temperatures are shifting bottom to top?
Yeah, when it comes to thicker ice, obviously what Danielle said, you have to be super safe. So you got to make sure the ice is thick enough. Kind of the rule of thumb is you want, you know, 5 inches of ice before you're really going out. Some people roll a dice, go 3-4 inches, but I say five, you know, to be safe. And then as you get a little bit thicker, you take your cars, you can take your snowmobile, ATVs out there. But when it comes to, like, you know, you get 15, 16, 17, 20 inches of ice out there, that just makes finding the fish a little bit more difficult, right? If you're on either a new body of water or even a familiar bottle of water. You know, the tactic to finding fish is you're drilling holes, right? So it's just a lot. It's taking up a little more time to drill holes. You're going to go out there, try to find fish and drill 20 holes.
Yep.
Get down in there. If you're not finding anything, you're moving on. So when you have thicker bodies of ice out there, it's just taking much longer to find those fish, and you only got so much time in the day.
When you're drilling these holes, what are you looking for when you drop it down? Like, let's say I do not have an AccuView or a live camera.
Yeah.
I drop it down and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm about 15 feet down and I see a few weeds. Am I happy?
Yeah. When you're happy is when you're catching fish.
Oh, this is very true.
You're going for the fish. You know, you're going to catch a fish. And rule of thumb is when you're catching fish, you don't move away from the fish. So in the state of Wisconsin, you can have three lines in the water at once. So you can have two tip ups out and then you can be jigging with a line. So, you know, you set up your shelter, you set up your bucket, whatever, you're stationary, you're doing your jigging, your thing, you find fish. You go in a radius and you set up some, you drill a bunch of holes and then you set two lines in. If those tip ups don't trigger, you're moving the tip ups around in a big radius.
Yeah. And this is just like for hunting and everything. You want to get out there nice and early. You don't want to wait until the sun rises and you're nice and warm and you had your coffee and all that kind of stuff. Get out there at the crack of dawn and drill those holes, make sure you're being safe, and then test all the holes out, go fishing the day before so you know where you're to go, and hopefully people do not see you and take your holes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you're a newbie and you're trying to find a good fishing spot, you're going to go look at wherever people are fishing, you know, and there's a million holes all over the place. I mean, if you're a new fisherman, it's always, you know, go chat with somebody who's out on the ice. Obviously, the best way to learn is to go out, just go knee deep and get out there and try it.
Well,
obviously, be safe. You know, talk to your local tackle shop, find out fishing reports, make sure the ice is thick enough.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of someone being new at it, what do you suggest somebody to buy right now if they've never gone out before? What do you suggest for them to buy?
Yeah, I would get you don't need anything fancy to get started, right? The idea is you're going out there and experiencing it, and based on that, you know, small experience, you're going to know if you're going to love it or not.
Yeah.
You don't need $2,000 shanty worth heaters and all this, you know, insulated floor. Go out there and see what it's like, and then just as you go on, you can accumulate more and more.
But what about these rods? You have rods over here. What's the difference between these two rods? Can I see one of them?
These are just Amazon rods.
Oh, those are just Amazon rods.
These are just, so I'm the content creator, so I need something to display our products on. So these are just run-of-the-mill Amazon rods. I mean, they're good quality. They're 20, you know, they're 20 bucks. You can get a St. Croix rod for 200. Oh, yeah. Those can catch fish.
And what about, like, the backbone on for, like, your out pan fishing? Do you have to worry about the backbone on the rod? And backbone meaning from the actual rod part? Like, how strong does it have to be? Are you checking that out, or is that something people should be worried about?
I don't think people really need to be worried about that. You can just go get your basic run-of-the-mill ice fish. Because when people are ice fishing, you're going for crappie, you're going for panfish, and then you're going to be running tip-ups for, you know, those larger game fish that are going to be able to trigger the flags, those pike, those walleye, you know, maybe even muskie and bass out there, you know, catch those.
That would be wonderful.
Wild. Like,
and
a muskie on a tip-up.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of trout, I want to go trout ice fishing so bad. So bad.
You can do it. You catch those Great Lakes trout. Although the ice looks really shady once it breaks up and then refreezes. I saw some pictures. But I want to point out to folks who don't get up to the upper reaches of Wisconsin and the northern areas of Wisconsin, one thing that Cody was just talking about is you don't have the competition up on the lakes and rivers up here that you do in southeast Wisconsin. And in all reality, it's a five-hour drive. I left my house about 3 o'clock this morning and got here about 8 o'clock and all in the morning. So you've got the whole day. You're not competing with people. And something I want to talk about with Senator Stafshul just a little bit is kind of the camaraderie that exists up here, the crews that develop. You know, I was out with Mason Setzi and his girlfriend Cheyenne. We're part of a hunting crew up here. And the people up here, you know, they're not all into social media all day long, staring at their phones. They're living life in three dimensions. And that is one of the most valuable things about coming up north. Not only is the beauty unlike anything else you've ever seen, but the down south area of Wisconsin, we've got different areas of Wisconsin that are completely ecologically different than each other. And that is one of the greatest things about coming up here. You feel like you're in the North Woods somewhere in Canada many times, because you'll drive on roads that, first of all, are gravel roads. They're not real well, you know, groomed. And you literally get to be with your own thoughts and experience nature. And it's not that far for anyone in Wisconsin. It's about a 5-hour drive. And that's so worth it. The people up here, I cannot believe the camaraderie and generosity of people inviting you to dinner, inviting you over, taking you in their truck to look for tracks, showing you the land and the fishing. Is that one of the things that draws you to this area, Rob?
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, hunting camaraderie is one of the biggest reasons people do it. And it's no different, certainly in northern Wisconsin. I think there's a few less people, so we get a pretty tight-knit group. Like you say, Mason and Cheyenne been out with us, and Mason's mom and dad been out, and we've got some good friends that stay at the cabin here, and we kind of all go out every day, and we kind of work as a team, and that's great. And I wanted to go back to what Danielle said about trying to catch a trout through the ice. And, you yes. know, one of the things that we have up here is we have some really good trout streams. And the other thing that trout streams are good for in the winter is bobcats travel on the ice a lot. Mm. And I've been trying to send Joel down the ice on these trout streams. And I think he's worried that he'll end up being in the water with the trout because he's a little hesitant. And I think his risk factor on the ice thickness is a little bit higher than some other folks.
Okay, I'm heading down to look at some of these streams, and there's literally signs posted that I don't meet the weight restriction. Okay? And I'm talking about the bridge that goes over them, not the actual ice, for God's sake. Yes, well, Danielle, we've got to figure out a way to get you up here and do a show from up here with some of the folks who are around here, because I cannot stress how unbelievable it is to experience the different culture that exists up here. And one of the things, now, what do I love as much as anything in the world, Danielle? Food. What do I love to do? I love to eat. And I have met my match up here, and especially when it comes to wild game. So many folks up here trap and hunt and fish, that wild game is really a staple of almost every meal. You know, talking to Rob's dad, who started the bear hunting season, and the history that his family's got and the legacy they're leaving on the great state of Wisconsin. All of these conversations end up usually coming back to food. We were just at Representative Chance Green's bar, the Pioneer. What city was that, Rob?
It's kind of in the middle. It's by Lake Namakagan.
It's by Lake Namakagan, which I grew up thinking was called Lake Namakagan. But everything's about food, and all these little pubs and taverns and restaurants and supper clubs have got like their take on how to prepare it. And it's very different from other regions in Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. Southeast Wisconsin is amazing with their culinary, cultural differences. And you get food born of all the different places in the United States. And it's amazing. But getting up north, you will see a different culture. There are places that kind of lean to Norwegian food up here, I've noticed a little bit. I mean, there are influences from Minnesota and the Scandinavian folks who live in those areas. So that's just one of the coolest things up here is really the food and how everybody kind of focuses on it, talks about it, and spend so much of their time talking about how they prepare wild game.
It's fantastic. You know, one of our favorite things is kind of going to somebody else's hunting cabin or home if they live up here or whatever, and sharing a meal and see how they, what their take is on a Friday night fish fry or a Tuesday fish fry or whatever at home. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing I did find interesting, and Danielle, you'll find this interesting because we talked about it a while back. We went to a home up here during the Packer playoff game. And what's fascinating is when you get around diehard hunters and fishermen, they are usually in the field or on the waters and woods during the Packer game, right?
Yes.
So we're sitting at the folks' home, and there's about 25 people there, and the Packer game's on, and they score, and there's no cheering or clapping because the people are looking around, and they're like, yeah, well, we're going to find some bobcats tomorrow.
My kind of people.
It wouldn't have mattered if the Packer game was on or not. But I do have to mention that the Civic Media stations are another place to catch all of your Packers information. And they're going to be amazing next year. And we did really have a great season and a great season end despite the loss. Although I really think we should have won that. Cody, are you a Packers fan?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I completely agree. Young team, super promising future. Youngest team in the NFL. We did phenomenal. I don't think we should hang our heads low. We should be proud of this season. I'm extremely disappointed. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually kind of upset you even brought it up because I'm still grieving. But.
Well, you know what? You'll get over it since you just gave Danielle a bunch of swag and I don't get any because I'm up here.
But. And I don't feel good about it, Joel. I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel bad either. If anyone deserves it, it's Danielle.
Well, when we get back from break, we're going to talk about more with Staff Schultz and then all these lines. We have three different types of lines here that I have questions about real quick. So you're listening to Raised in Wisco.
I get a little farm pond buzz sound. You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why not make this Valentine's Day wild while supporting the Milwaukee County Zoo at the same time? Send a loving message from one of your favorite animals to one of your favorite humans. Learn more at MilwaukeeZoo.org. The zoo's Jennifer Deliberti also joined Matt and Air on Air to reminisce as she gets ready to retire. Here's one thing Jane recalls.
You and I did a little behind the scenes at the zoo, and you drove me around in the golf cart. And right. One of the things I thought was so cool, the keepers and the animal trainers get to name new baby animals, and a lot right. of them will use family names.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love that.
Deliberti has been with the zoo for 25 years. Congratulations.
For me, it's been the best job I've ever had. I love it.
Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Trucks jacked up, flat bills flip back. Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
That's such a great song. I love that song. Written by Chase Rice, friend of the Foul Life, friend of the show. And something else I want to talk about. Travel Wisconsin is now the official, the Foul Life on the Outdoor Channel is now the official show of Travel Wisconsin from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Danielle and I co-host the Foul Life with Chad Belding. I'm the Midwest host for that. And we featured all the guys from the Foul Life on Raised in Wisco. They were all in the studio. And I'm so excited to say we're really, Danielle, I got to give a lot of credit to you for this. We really have gotten a lot of the movers and shakers of the outdoor industry on our show. Mm-hmm. So a big thank you to them for being a part of Raised in Wisco. We've got, you know, national celebrities. We've got state lawmakers who stop by with frequency, the heads of Safari Club International, Delta Waterfowl. We couldn't do it without all of you. And that is part of the reason that Raised in Wisco is moving on up to all of the Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin. Listen to us Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock on your Civic Media station anywhere throughout the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm just really, really excited about that. And the show goes so fast. The 1 hour just goes so fast. And I wanna give Cody a little time. You were talking about line before we went to the break. We're talking about fishing line, Danielle?
Yes, fishing line. So Cody brought in Reaction Tackle's ice fishing line. And these are all monofilament, right?
Yes. We got four monofilament colors, and then we got three braid.
Okay. Can you talk to everybody about that real quick? So what's the difference between braid and mono?
So braid, you're going to use on your tip-ups.
Tip-ups, you know,
it's thicker. It's got a hydrophobic coating on it, so it's not going to ice over. It's not going to get stiff on you.
Hydrophobic?
Did you like that big word?
Hydrophobic.
Yeah, Google that one. So that's got a hydrophobic coating on it. You know, water's not going to penetrate it and make it all stiff and all gunked up. And then our monofilament. So you're going to use that for tip-ups. Okay.
Tip-ups. And then what about for leaders? Are leaders a big thing on tip-ups?
You can use leaders. People do. People don't.
Okay.
It's kind of personal preference. It's like bass fishermen who go out and they don't use a leader and just use braid straight to their lures.
Yep.
It's kind of a
I think on preference. Braided line, you don't really have as much of a need for a steel leader. And I think a lot of times those bigger predator fish will hit the steel leader, but those fish like walleye, the more sensitive fish, won't hit a steel leader, but they will hit braided line, which is still so much tougher. I mean, we hunt alligators with braided line in Florida with 500 pound braided test.
Oh, dang.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
I would say, even people use not even steel leaders, but they'll use mono. or fluorocarbon as a leader, just for the translucency.
Yeah, because I figured it at the bottom, because you do what, about a foot to 2 foot?
Yeah.
So it's probably in the same eye range as all the fish, so they don't see it as well as the braided.
Yeah.
So the poundage. Yeah. Why are there so many different poundages here?
A lot of it's preferenced, you know. So our monofilament's 2 to 10 pound, and then our braid goes 4 to 30 pound. And, you know, that just comes with the territory. You want heavier pound braid for those bigger fish with teeth. Right?
Bigger fish with teeth, yep.
You know, a 30-pound braid will hold up to a pike very, very well.
Oh, yes.
Very, very well. It can chomp on that, and it'll be no problem. But we got the four colors, and then we got the three colors of the braid. It's blue. We got the blue camo, the high-vis yellow, and then the white. So a lot of people will use high-vis for just being able to see it. You know, sight fishing, being able to see the fish hitting that line. And then people will like the blended colors. And then, like we said on the last show, right? Like, people like the aesthetics the camo colors.
Absolutely.
You know?
I'm really liking this. I'm surprised I'm going to say this. I actually like the pink line. I'm not normally a pink person, but having pink on.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of like this. So
how much of this stuff is marketed to the anglers and the sportsmen and women versus mattering to the fish?
Oh, boy.
His face 30%. Right now.
As a marketing man yourself,
30%.
Involve some inner secrets.
I'd say 30%. You know, 30%. I think that's across the industry, though. It's like you're tugging on heartstrings, you're tugging on aesthetics. People match their reels to their line all the time. And then there's like
bowstrings to bows, arrows to quivers.
Yeah.
I have been seeing a lot of this Wonder Bread. If you look on my Facebook Live or Raisin Wisco Live, we have the Wonder Bread tugs and jigs. I have seen these everywhere, and people have the matching ice suits to go with this, and the hat and the gloves. I'm like, you just look like you're a big old twister out there.
I know.
Like, just
kick them
on the ground and play twister.
Think about the 80s. Think about the 80s and 90s when you went to a ski hill. The boots matched the pants, matched the jacket, matched the Oakley blades, matched the hat. Uh-huh. I mean, matched the gloves.
Was that you, Joel?
I'm gonna exercise my Fifth Amendment rights.
Well,
on that.
I have you, Mom. I'll ask you, Mom.
Oh no, she's gonna start telling you about the flight pants I used to wear in the 80s.
Jill used to wear parachute pants.
Oh yeah, dancing to New Kids on the Block, baby. That's right. I'm not ashamed. I am not afraid to explain the iterations of my life. I had a full-scale mullet at that time, which she was constantly trying to trim the back of, by the
bring
way.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. I second that. Bring it
I've
back.
I've got a picture you can put on Facebook one of these days. But now I'm going to ask Rob Stafschel, do the bear hunting crews, do they match their outerwear?
They most definitely do not. In fact, you may not be part of the crew if you came out matching.
In fact, you
that
might,
guy's out of here.
You might get in trouble if you come out with matching camouflage.
Yeah. that's so great. When I first started hunting, I just called myself a mismatched marshmallow.
Yeah.
Because nothing matched, not one thing, and I was just poofy like the Michelin Man. Oh man.
Yeah. Well. Even on the most slimming stuff, I'm puffy like the Michelin Man, so it's all right.
You gotta stay warm.
It is interesting to see the different styles of camouflage and outerwear that people use in the outdoors. It's almost become, I mean, and now there are so many women's lines which are growing by the day, and so I think I really do think fashion has become part of the outdoor industry.
Oh, it has, and you hate when I bring this up, but us women things we have. We have stuff for that, so I'm very excited. I won't bring it up again because we have 1 minute left.
Well, speaking of fashion,
you guys
have heard of Hooked and Tagged.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm assuming from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Great Wisconsin company. Yes. Yeah, our booth
and
at Wisconsin.
And I saw this rod, St. Croix from Park Falls, which is right down the street from us.
Yes, exactly.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Listen to our show, Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Thank you so much to Senator Rob Stafschel, Chairman of the Sporting Heritage Committee, Cody Doberstein of Reaction Tackle. We'll be with you throughout the state from here on out.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to Raised in Wisco.
We'll see you
next time.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.